Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. Hey Jouk, good to see you. Welcome to yet another episode of Banking Reinvented. How are you today?
Yeah, good morning, Tim. Good to see you. I'm really looking forward.
Likewise. It's a proper setup for today, so I'm excited to see how we can make this podcast a success going forward.
Yeah, looking forward.
Cool. Hey, the format is that we first have a bit of a view on what was a key insight that you've had last week, being on the road, speaking with a lot of executives, or perhaps any of the reading that you might have done. Anything that's top of mind for you, Jouk?
Yeah, I think not very original, but like I have to say that the GPT demo of GPT-4 Omni is amazing. I was, you know, it kind of opened another paradigm where you really see voice control and how humans can interact with a voice assistant and how it can understand sentiment and how it can respond to that, how it can actually, in a way, drive a conversation. I felt like, wow, this is like another iPhone moment, as in this will have impact on conversational AI. It will probably have impact on a new paradigm for user interfaces. I think we all know that voice control with Siri was not that great, but I really look forward to kind of see this evolve into the next level. But this is going to have impact, and especially I think on AI-driven customer support, AI assist, those type of models. I think the rules will be rewritten in this part of, let's say, the IT landscape.
Yeah, clearly. And perhaps it's fun to, dial into the customer call center and have the voice of Scarlett Johansson commenting, right?
Yeah. Or you can pick your own voice, right? Whatever, like, or voice. So that's, lots in store there.
Indeed. All right. Hey, let's move to the main topic for today. In the coming few episodes, we're going to unpack a lot of different concepts that at Backbase we're quite passionate about, which we believe influence the industry. And for today, we're just going to start with, maybe the most high-level view on the industry, which we speak of already for quite a few years, which is engagement banking. And perhaps you just kick it off, Jouk, 10,000 feet view. What is engagement banking?
Yeah, I think we've been discussing internally, like originally we were talking a lot about omni-channel banking, but in a way you still talk about channels and then, you know, cross-channel type of alignment. But a couple of years ago we had this brainstorm session where we felt like we probably need to have a whole new paradigm, and that paradigm is not about channels, but it is actually around the customer. So we started to think like, hey, in this new holistic thinking, it is about how do we orchestrate customer journeys, irregardless of the touch point, irregardless of the channel. It is about a world in e-commerce where all your customer journeys are driven typically by a single platform. I think Uber, think Netflix, think Airbnb, all these platforms are basically orchestrating the customer journey. And interestingly enough, there's no notion of channels. It's just a touch point. It's different users. So I think engagement banking is a new, let's say, acronym or a new summary that is putting the industry towards a new North Star, where we say it's not about channels, it's not about products, it's about the customer. It's an outside-in view. And the new rules of the game are all about how do we service our customers, how do we streamline these customer journeys.
Yeah, it's very much customer centricity, if I'm hearing you correctly.
I think it is. It's basically the old mantra. I think a lot of people talk about customer experience, but it's kind of a hollow container term. It's basically lip service. I think fundamentally with engagement banking, we basically say it is fundamental around a paradigm shift into orchestrating the customer journey and making that leading. So I think it's a very important North Star. I think it's ultimately it is about an omni architecture that can orchestrate from a single platform the journeys across multiple touch points. And it's also multi-user. So it can be a self-directed end customer. It can be someone like a loan officer, someone like a relationship manager. So it's multi-persona, multi-touch point. And there's this notion that you need to have this kind of intelligent platform that is truly orchestrating all these different journeys and all these different actors. So I think it's way more than just a thin layer of UX. I think it's actually a deep set of logic to orchestrate an end-to-end customer journey with all these different actors and all these different rules. So I think it's pretty profound. It's way more than lips. Originally, people were talking about like, hey, this experience thing is kind of lipstick on a pig. You're not really solving the underlying problem. And I think that's what we're really trying to do here with engagement banking. Engagement banking is not just about a fancy app or a fancy five-star rating in the App Store. Engagement banking is about the fundamental logic to truly give mean to the world's customer experience. And that is the orchestration logic to compose and to orchestrate these customer journeys end to end.
Yeah, it's almost hard to argue against it, Jouk. I think you see the new and the old world. Mm-hmm. But perhaps right now we're speaking mostly of the end outcome, re-architecting banking around the customer, having mostly digital touch points that are just fluid, seamless, if I may. Mm-hmm. But why are banks not moving into that model so far? Why is this still a topic? If you look at all the other examples that you shared, like Uber or Netflix, it's normal, isn't it?
Yeah, I think like all the other industries are basically already have set the benchmark. Indeed, to your point, Uber and Netflix, the benchmark is already set and the benchmark is ever evolving and it's basically raising the bar to a large degree, I would say. So why is it so hard? I think a lot of banks basically are suffering from decades and decades of legacy technology that have never been architected around the customer, but has been architected around the channel. I think already for, you know, first, you had the branch automation, then the call center automation, then the ATM automation. Then early 2000, the internet became popular. The more recent wave with mobile applications. But all these different channel technologies have been implemented and developed in isolation. So it's basically a lot of duplication in channel logic, and it has never been holistic. So I think that's why with banks, we have so much kind of legacy. It's therefore, I think, you need to have ambitious leaders that fundamentally say like, hey, this channel architecture, in a way, it has never been designed to competitive in today's world. It has never been designed as a platform that is multi-user and it is touchpoint agnostic. So I think I'm afraid as a consequence of this, banks have to go back to the drawing board and fundamentally rethink how they can stay competitive. And that in itself is for most bankers a daunting task because it's not just a little technical project. It is quite a significant transformation effort and in a way career risk, I would say. So there's definitely a way to do it. We can compartmentalize it. We can make it smaller. It's called progressive modernization. But I think it is a fundamental re-architecting of the banking industry or a particular bank around a new paradigm. And that is... that's not a small thing.
Yeah. No, it is definitely a major transformational task that we see happening in the industry. Now, we will speak of progressive modernization and what it means and how you step-by-step, go through this task. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's not that traditional banks are sitting still. So they are making decisions. They are investing budgets. But where is the output then? Is it in no way going into the direction of engagement banking? Or how do you see this, Jouk?
Well, maybe first, if we can do one step back, Tim, I think on the definition side, and, you know, definitions sometimes are a little bit important to talk the same language, right? I think a lot of people are still in the old paradigm where you talk about online banking, mobile banking, you know, assisted banking. And by nature, if you are in that paradigm, you are investing in siloed applications. You're basically investing in monolithic siloed applications. And I think a large part of the banks are organized around these silos and the budget allocation is around these silos. So I think organizational structure, paradigm in how you think and operate, it all kind of still kind of drives money and investment money into a broken operating model because it is monolithic and it is siloed. So in that sense, I guess it requires a bit of a paradigm shift also where you really say like, how do we reallocate budgets from running these silos into changing it into this new paradigm. And I think that's the ironic part. I think hundreds of millions, if not billions globally, are spent on a broken operating model. And imagine if you could only reallocate 5 or 10% of that, let's say, legacy spend, that basically will drive you nowhere. It will just kind of keep making the problem bigger into a new paradigm. But that's why paradigm shifts are profound, and they require a lot of care and effort to execute.
Yeah, also to prevent from not creating new legacy, if I hear you correctly. Because you still don't make decisions, you will continue, but it's just adding to the pile almost. Yeah,
absolutely. So I think in a way, maybe the way budgets are set up, but also organizational structure, internal ownership. I think that typically you kind of get the IT systems the way you are structured, right? The organizational structure dictates. So think about if you want to move into engagement orchestration, where you holistically would like to service your customers around customer journeys, it kind of automatically, it maybe kind of starts to beg the question, like, what is the right organizational model to kind of get there? So it's easy to talk about customer experience. And I think a lot of customer experience talk is actually just nothing more than lip service of people that have a genuine desire to do well, but they are bound by the limitations of monolithic silo or channel applications. So they are not even in a position to fundamentally make real impact. And that's, I think, really why we need to kind of shake up this industry and say, guys, if you compare this to an Uber or to a Netflix, this operating model is just profoundly broken. And in all fairness, I don't say we can easily make the change, but it requires leadership, a strong North Star, and I would say ambitious leadership to kind of take that bull by the horns and rethink the operating model, rethink the organizational model, and step by step allocate resources and funding to basically create the platform engagement operating model of the future. And, you know, the good news is that we see a lot of executives we work with on a day-to-day basis that, you know, with ups and downs, that are they are on this trajectory and they are making that fundamental choice. So do I have any doubt about if it's possible? It's absolutely possible. Do we see dozens and dozens of banks executing this? Yes, we do. What's the time frame? 3 to 5 years. Is it easy? No.
Is it doable? Absolutely.
Yeah, you've been in this market now for quite a while, right? So Backbase, I believe, celebrated their 20th anniversary last year.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine that Backbase originated with this big of a vision, going all the way across the complete architecture of a typical digital bank by now. And interestingly enough, you mentioned, hey, this is really about the customer. How do you really re-architect profoundly the way you organize yourself, how you deliver value to your end customers? But where did you start? Like, what was the beginning point of Backbase to address the issue, where I believe you figured out over the years that, yeah, the problem is so big, it becomes this larger transformational shift?
Yeah, well, first of all, I have to say we're quite lucky to be the right company with the right vision at the right time, let's say 12, 10 years ago. But I think and also in all fairness, you have to grow into it to really understand the depth and the width of the problem space. So I think that accumulates over time. But I think the original founding idea of Backbase was kind of this simple notion of outside in, where we basically, let's say 12, 15 years ago, came to the notion like, hey, all these banks, they have all these products and all these channels, and they're just pushing products through these channels, and these channels are all isolated. So the original founding idea of Backbase is like, hey, what if we could have a very lean experience portal? You know, at the time there was no mobile or virtually no mobile. And the notion was actually just kind of, how do we bring all that stuff together and how do we turn it around and basically say, I'm the customer, I log in, and then via an integration engine and a security engine, we can get all the different capabilities from the bank into a single dashboard. So it was already from that moment about outside in, customer centric, just basically bringing all these different ingredients together, super lightweight. But once you are in that paradigm shift, and that paradigm shift, the fundamentals never changed. It's more you start to understand, like, if you truly want to do this, you know, what are the obstacles? Where do you see the friction? And I think we've been fortunate as a company for the last 15 years. You go through all that friction, you go through all that pain, and you basically start to decompose all the complexity you run into along the way. And you can start to figure out, like, how to fundamentally create an architecture that is just much more than just user interface technology, we started to realize it's about security, it's about entitlements, it's about the data lake, it's about engagement orchestration logic, making sure that all the logic and the role-based access control for employees, relationship managers, and customers in small businesses, the different loan officers, the different payment people, etc., like all these different actors, how do you make sure that in a safe and seamless way they can all operate? So it's a very deep domain with security, entitlements, process automation, engagement logic, banking logic, hollowing out the core. I will spare you the details, but it's a long journey. But ultimately, you start to kind of get all the different puzzle pieces in place, and the platform is evolving.
Yeah, that's also definitely a nice umbrella for all the episodes that are coming up in the coming period, because we're going to unpack the majority of these concepts. And again, there is complexity. So we're going to take it, let's say, bite-sized as much as we can.
Yeah,
just a few questions that we typically hear in the market, because there's quite some misconception around what is engagement banking? How is it different from digital banking? Is it the same? Maybe we can start there. How do you see this?
I think the common language right now in the market is digital banking. I think that's kind of how people call pretty much what's happening in the channels. I think with digital, you start to refer to a set of channels, maybe online and mobile. So I think it's moving in the right direction. But it is, and it's also kind of where we went with kind of engagement banking. I think engagement banking is one level up where we say it's not about any particular channel or any particular technology or touch point. It is truly a single platform that is orchestrating the customer journey. And that platform is used by any actor, so end customers, but also any employee in multiple roles. So therefore, you could argue maybe in like the normal, let's say, language people would talk to, I would say engagement banking is just the next generation or the next evolution of digital banking. I think engagement banking is digital at the core. It is platform-centric. But it is basically there to service as the platform of platforms. It is basically servicing every customer journey and every actor in the process. So I would think we can ditch the notion of a channel. I think we are in a platform world where we orchestrate customer journeys, and where the different participants, I would say both customers and employees, can interact with the platform across any touch point and any form factor.
Nice. Moving on, the final one that we typically see in the market happening that is related to this domain is modernization as a theme of modernizing the institution, which typically tends to start with core modernization. Now, many of these stories almost trigger like, okay, this relates to the core in many ways. Does it?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think people take an inside-out perspective. So I would say like, obviously, macro, most banks need to modernize. But the question is, what's your North Star? Why are you modernizing in the first place? And where do you want to go to, right? And also, what is the friction you try to solve? So I would take a very holistic approach. And I fundamentally would say we see multiple different parts of friction, right? So there's a lot of friction in the journeys. So I would like to kind of analyze, like, what's the friction in a particular journey? And what is causing that friction? Is it in the channel layer? Is it in the engagement layer? Is it in the integration layer? Is it in the system of record layer? So I would say analyze these journeys front to back. Analyze them holistically with an omni-channel perspective. And then automatically you know where you need to modernize. But I think the starting point is not per se the core or the channel. I would say the starting point is ideally the channel. And then from the channel and by the journey and by in taking the journey as the central design piece, you can really kind of figure out like what's the impact for the end customer, what can we do self-directed, and what's the impact for the employee. Core modernization is only needed if it is a fundamental friction point for the journey, or if there's a compliancy or performance issue. So I think there's definitely a notion of core modernization. But in my mind, I would really always start with the customer. And then from the customer, what's the customer journeys? What are the point of frictions? So I think it's first principle thinking where, you know, with just core modernization, I think it's more system thinking. And I really would kind of urge people to reconsider that and think like, always start with the customer. If you do so, figure out where's the friction. And then from there, your roadmap will naturally evolve, right? Because you just need to remove that friction.
Yeah, it's definitely a very different point of view than what we've seen in the market over the decades.
Well, in all fairness, Tim, just maybe to elaborate on that. So I would argue is that a modernization is certainly not bound to core modernization. I would say modernization is a much larger domain, and it can impact the core, it can impact your integration architecture, and it can impact anything in the engagement layer, let's say the channel layer, right? So I would always take modernization is a larger, bigger topic. And I would take that holistic view and then from there apply customer first, journey first, and that's really, everything will follow.
Yeah. All right. I think it's time to move to the key takeaways for this episode, Jouk. Let me just kick off. I think, first of all, I hear you say it is an incredibly outside-in perspective. It is truly customer-centric in the nature that it starts with the customer. And everything from that journey needs to be seamless, friction needs to be removed, and that should dictate what type of architecture you introduce, which should be a very platform-centric architecture that practically brings all these ingredients together that any traditional institution will already have had for decades, if not longer, but effectively needs to unlock that through a platform-centric view so that you can really service that customer and other actors. That was the first one. I think the second one, which is quite nice, you get what you organize for. And in a way, the architecture is a reflection of what you've been organizing for many decades. And you need to break away from that pattern, which is, it's a daunting task, right? I think you also concluded similarly. Yeah. And then last but not least, it's a holistic view. You cannot go and piecemeal the challenge. You will just create new legacy in both the technology side, but also the actual value delivered to customers. So it basically begs the question, in which paradigm are you today? And how are you going to, you know, make the move to a world where you are platform-centric? And what are the ingredients to do so? Anything to add, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe two things. Like on the kind of, let's say, the warning side, I would say this is existential for banks. I truly believe that the current, let's say, more traditional banking operating model probably will not survive in the next 10 years. So I think it's strategically, I would say it's really code red, and it kind of begs about the size of action. And on the positive side, I think today and 24 is probably the best year ever to embark on a journey like this, because we have seen so much progress. I think the patents are there, the technology components are there, white label technologies that can help you jumpstart this transformation. All of these ingredients are in place. And I think also with AI, it will probably further accelerate. So yes, it is daunting. It is existential. It is also not an easy thing to accomplish. But the technologies, the platforms, but also the best practices, I think have been maturing over the last 10 years. So I think most of these things are now in their generation 2 or generation 3 maturity levels. So I think the timing has never been better for banks to say, okay, let's take decisive action and get this done.
There's hope, clearly.
For sure.
Thanks for sharing. There's always hope. All right, Jouk, then let's wrap it up for this episode. Thanks for listening in, everyone. We'll see you again next week. And I would say, thanks for joining, Jouk. It's been very interesting.
Cool. Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.